Hello, passengers, and welcome to another episode of Game Train Podcast. This time, episode lucky number 13. I'm Carl, and I've got Callan here.
Hello.
Hey. Let's do this thing. Let's jump into the news. So, firstly, we've got some sad news, unfortunately. The lead designer for Anthem, the BioWare game, has sadly passed away. Corey Gaspur, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They released a statement saying, "It is with great sadness that we announce the passing of our friend and colleague Corey Gaspur." The BioWare team wrote, "Corey was a talented designer and an even better person. We offer our condolences to Corey's family and anyone that knew him." So, that's really sad news, actually.
Yeah, rest in peace, Corey.
Let's see what else I've got here for you guys today. Kiwi action RPG Path of Exile is coming to Xbox One on August 25th. It's a free-to-play title, but you can support its continued development via a brand new optional starter pack. Inside, you get like 200 points to spend in the cosmetic store, the first blood weapon effect. I'm not sure what that is, but and an extra stash tab. So that's cool. What else I got here? Crackdown 3 has moved to spring of 2018, autumn for us. So that's interesting. Now the Xbox One, I mean, it still has Super Lucky's Tale, but there's no big first-party giant sort of killer app anymore.
Yeah, it's disappointing, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, after watching Gamescom, there's the huge section of games that are going to be enhanced for Xbox One X, which is cool, I guess.
It's not the same as a brand new game, though.
No, and nothing, yeah, nothing to look forward to. I mean, besides seeing those games in 4K and, like, hooray, but they're all games we've played and tried already. Yeah. I don't know. Also, let's see what else I've got here on news. Esports could be added to the Olympic program as an official medal sport in 2024. Which seems really interesting. The co-president of the Paris Bid Committee has confirmed that he will speak with the International Olympic Committee and esports representatives about the full-fledged inclusion of competitive video gaming when the games come to France in 7 years' time. I didn't see that coming, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
But, there it is. BioWare confirms no DLC for Andromeda. That is all. That's all I got on my end. What did you manage to dig up, Callan?
Well, Final Fantasy 15 is coming to mobile phone, and also Final Fantasy 15 and Assassin's Creed are having crossover DLC.
What?
Yeah. So first up on their mobile phone stuff is that Final Fantasy 15 is being turned into a portable version, which is going to be split into 10 parts. But everyone's going to be like little cartoon, almost like chibi characters. But it's the same game, which is bizarre. And also just announced today. One second. Sorry, I just got to confirm this.
Ooh, this is fresh. Fresh off the press.
Yeah. So it starts off with a festival inside Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
It's called the Assassin's Festival.
Uh-huh.
There'll be additional themed items and features, including another outfit from Assassin's Creed, along with abilities that enable Noctis to explore more like an assassin and even use some of the assassin's more well-known abilities.
Wow, okay. What?
Yeah, yep. So I'm guessing then maybe in Assassin's Creed Origins that you'll have like a Noctis costume that you can put on.
Wow, that'll look so funny in old school Egypt.
Yeah, so that's just been announced today, so... Yes, I don't think anyone would have guessed that one coming, so...
No, I mean, I was already excited to see the Regalia car in Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, oh, it's just crossovers everywhere at the moment.
They're just branching out.
Yep.
Nice. All right, what else? Hit me.
Okay. EB Games has announced a subscription service for their pre-owned games called Swap and Play. Pretty much they're turning their pre-owned section into their store into a hiring service, like a rental service. You'll pay $19.95 a month, and you'll have unlimited access to all their pre-owned titles in the EB Games store. So you take one out, you play it, you return it as many times as you want over the month. You have to sign up for 2 months first, straight away, and then, you just monthly after that.
Wow, that's really interesting. I like how they've turned that that popular worldwide phenomenon of subscription digital services into something physical and tangible.
Yeah,
it's I don't know how I feel about it, but
the other thing, it's only available in South Australia at the moment, but I assume going to come to the rest of Australia soon. But they're starting off in South Australia first.
I don't know why. I feel like I want to bag it out for some reason, but it sounds, the more I think about it, it sounds like full legit. Like, this is a cool idea, I think.
You know what? For some people that don't have a lot of money and can't keep purchasing games over and over, this is actually perfect for them. They put down $19.95 and they can just, you know, walk in, borrow whatever, walk out again. Like, it's great.
Yeah, it really is. And there's just so many games to play now. Like, I don't know, if someone's just finished uni or something and finally bought themselves a Xbox or PS4 and thought, oh, I'm going to get back in, I haven't played games for a while. You know, I've missed the last 5 years. How else could you do that?
Yeah.
Affordably. Like, this is really cool.
Yeah, it's a great way for catching up on old stuff, or you know, families with kids and you don't know if the game's going to be right for your kids or whatever. So you can pretty much just test out whatever you want. Go, oh, yeah, you know.
And you can hire it for as long as you want. Hey, it's not like one of those 10 days. And
no, that's right. Well, in that month period that you're paying for, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course. And then you, I assume you just pay for another month and so on and so forth. Nice. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
What else you got?
Some release dates. Skyrim VR is coming out November 17 for PSVR. Doom VFR is coming out December 1st for PSVR and HTC Vive on the PC. Fallout 4 VR is coming out on December 12th on the HTC Vive on PC.
Nice.
Rocket League is coming to Switch, which has been announced for a while, but they're getting exclusive cars. They're getting a Mario car, a Luigi car, and a Samus gunship car, which will be all free at launch. Also, they're adding unique Mario hats to the cars in the game as well.
Nice. I'm keen.
Yes. And also, Gamescom's been on this week. We've done a couple of express casts looking at all the news on Gamescom, so you can find all that in our list of episodes and on our Facebook page as well. So please go check them out. We just did that to just save a bit of time in our actual episode, because a lot did come out of Gamescom again.
Yeah, and they're short episodes. If you just want a quick recap of everything, it's like 5 to 10
minutes.
Just a
quick news recaps on Microsoft, EA, and Blizzard.
Yeah, we thought those were sort of the main ones to cover, just because they had a lot to talk about.
Exactly, and next month is the Tokyo Game Show, where again we're going to be doing express casts. So if Sony, Square Enix, etc. have presentations, we'll be covering them as well.
Yeah. Rock and roll. So that's the news.
All right. So what have you been playing, Carl?
What have I been playing? Good question. I've been playing a lot, actually, but I'm just going to narrow it down to the experiences that really just, you know, connected. And one of those main ones is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Now, that came out last week, I think. It's Ninja Theory's new game, which a lot of people were assuming would be a lot like Heavenly Sword, like, you know, third person and big fighting adventure, which it kind of is, but it's almost that cross with like a walking simulator. But I mean, it's got like a great fighting engine, beautiful graphics, and that's it at the surface. You know, you play a Celtic warrior, and she's got this head of someone that she used to love, and she's trying to revive it, bring it through this adventure through her Celtic sort of village that's been overrun and taken over by Vikings and you know, things to do with Norse mythology. But that's just the surface. The game itself is really kind of like a psychological experience reflecting issues to do with mental illness. So your main character, Senua, suffers from psychosis, and it's just this, I feel like it's this brilliant way of trying to explain to people who haven't felt it themselves, or who are kind of onlookers, you know, like myself, who don't know what it's like to have these, you know, serious anxiety and depression and psychosis and so on and so forth. When you start the game, like, the first thing they tell you to do is that you must use earphones, which I thought was really interesting. And it says, you know, play alone and turn it up. And when I did it, you realize straight away why. Like, the sound design is second to none. It is amazing from the very, very beginning, from the get-go. She hears like all these voices in her head, telling it, like, you know, dozens of different voices saying, some of them are encouraging you, some are laughing at you, some are like putting you down, some are trying to scare you or just be mysterious. Most of them are her own voice in different like sort of personalities, and some are like these deep, the voices of like deep men, evil sounding demons. And I don't know, so the whole game just kind of keeps those little things, voices in your head throughout the whole thing. Like, you know, you do like a lot of, there's a lot of puzzles in it, kind of like rhyme slash witness type puzzles where you're putting things with perspective and trying to fit things together. There's boss battles and all that kind of thing, a gorgeous photo mode. But that whole thing with the voices and the, you know, underlying message is what really connected with me. Like, before I finish up, there's this quick thing that it just stuck with me. And I was telling you this earlier, Callan, but it's this moment in this game where, like, you got to light up this fire and the whole room starts burning and, you know, you start burning and you got to run through this doorway to be safe. And that's just a quick little easy puzzle. And you light up the fire and the doorway is just right in front of you. It's about 50 meters ahead. You just got to run through and walk through it. And it's that simple. But it really had this beautiful way of showing that struggle that these people go through that we can't understand, except in viewing it in a way of experiencing ourselves like a video game like this. Like, for example, I had the earphones in and my girlfriend was sitting next to me. She was doing her own thing, reading. And she was watching me play this thing, you know, in the corner of her eye. And she could see me light up this fire and then this obvious pathway to this open door. And I'm running towards it going, well, this must be where I have to go. But in my earphones, there's dozens of voices saying all this, like, oh my God, look how stupid you are. I can't believe you're going the wrong way. Oh my God, look at her. She's such an idiot. How could she be doing that? So I'm like, oh, okay. So instead of running forward, I turned around and headed back to where I came from to light up this thing. And, well, I died and it killed me. And which is not fun in this, because having said that, there's this mechanic in this game where if you die, which you have to do a lot, so don't be too scared, but if you die too many times, your entire progress gets deleted. Like a, what do we call that? Like a permadeath kind of thing. So it's kind of scary. Every time you die, you really feel it in this, and you're really careful, and it's kind of terrifying. So I'm like, well, what the hell? So I tried it again, lit up the flames, run towards that exit, and they said it again, so I tried to go maybe a different pathway, died again. Terrified now, like, just like, okay, I need to do this properly. I lit the flame, I just ran straight forward for 50 meters, ran through the door, and the puzzle was done. And it was that easy. And I'm like, what the hell? And so my girlfriend was just like, dude, what were you doing? It was so obvious that you had to light up this fire and walk through that door. Like, and it really made me understand how they're trying to convey that message of psychosis and mental illness. Like, people have these issues that we don't know. You know, they're lying in bed and they just can't get out of bed, or they just can't leave the house, or they can't make something to eat. Like, they can't get out of bed. And, you know, to some people like us, we're just like, dude, just sit up, just get some shoes on and get out of bed, like, wake up. And they're like, no, you don't understand. I know the option seems like the obvious one and it seems easy and straightforward, but with these things in our head that people like myself can't see, like, we just see these people going through these issues and we don't understand it. Standing from the outside, it looks and it seems so easy, but in fact there's so much more to it that we'll never understand. And I feel like this game is just going like a long way in helping us see that at a different level. So yeah, I mean, beautiful, fun, interesting, all kinds of things to describe this, but the main thing I think is that it's important. I think it's a really important game. So if you have the time, it's not long, 5 to 6 hours, please jump in there and check it out. I think it's well worth it. But yeah, that's Hellblade.
And that's out on PS4 and PC.
Yes, yeah, correct. Of course, I should mention that.
Yes.
Sorry, Xbox guys. again.
Yeah. All right, so we've also been having a look at Sonic as well. Sonic Sonic Mania yes. released on Xbox, PS4 and Switch, and is coming yep. to PC soon. I played it on the Switch, which was kind of strange to download a Sonic game, even though Sonic and Nintendo are sort of getting on these days. It's still a strange concept.
Still weird, eh?
Still yep, strange concept.
Old school.
Yep.
With the old Versus pictures from back in the day.
Yep. But, yeah, so this is pretty much old school Sonic, just like pretty much what you would have picked up on your Sega Mega Drive all those years ago. Just the classic 2D side-scroller platformer. Fast, fun, vibrant. It's using a lot of old assets from the old Sonic games, but plus some new ones. So they've recreated some old levels, but then molded them and almost remixed them in a way into these new style of levels. Plus, brand new levels. There's new bosses. There's new special stages. Plus, there's old school special stages. It's an old school Sonic package. Release now, pretty much. Like, if you're expecting like breaking new gameplay, it's not that. It is old school Sonic to a T.
Yeah, I mean, but they're still kind of putting in like these new mechanics in the levels that are kind of fresh and new. And I don't know, it's still old school Sonic, but it still feels like a modern platformer in a way. Like, it's still enjoyable. It's not dated or like weird to play. Like, it feels so smooth still. The sprites and animation are just beautiful. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a heap of levels as well. Like, there's a bunch of zones in this game. I'm about five in, I think, now.
Nice.
It's a
great... And there's, like, what, two levels per zone?
Yeah, two acts a zone.
Yeah, yeah.
A mini boss and then a main boss for each zone. And some of the bosses, I'm not going to spoil it, but some of the bosses have a nice little twist to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, though, because it was such a great surprise. I loved it.
Yeah, right.
I loved it. But I'll tell you what, it's a great game to have on the Switch, to have on the go. Like, just being able to sit down, like, in the car or public transport and just smash out a level. It's good. It's fun. If you're a fan of old Sonic games, get this. It'll bring back nostalgia. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I can't wait for Mario to be out so I can take a screenshot of my Mario thumbnail and my Sonic one right next to each other on the system.
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be great.
Another game that we have been playing together over this last couple of weeks is the game called Fortnite, which came out. Which
came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, same for me. I just saw it pop up on, like, you know, the PlayStation sort of store one day. I'm like, what is this? And then we got it on Xbox, but it's out on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. How to describe this game? It is a third-person co-op
tower defense
builder RPG mini open world at stages. Collectible card game. So it's just this weird mix of all these different sort of games into one package. In saying that, it suffers from a bit of bloat in that there's all these different systems going on at once. There's many different types of experience points where you can level up your main character, other sub-characters, traps, and then skill points, and then there's research points. And then you can put, like, each character or item you earn, you can permanently get rid of and put into, like, a sticker album to collect this whole sticker book.
Yeah. And I ran into a lot of trouble losing items and upgrading the wrong kind of people, and just because of it's just a bit confusing. Like, and I mean, I play a lot of games and I navigate a lot of menus, so, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I'm usually pretty good at understanding what's going on with it, and I really tried to, and I'm just like, still couldn't get my head around all of it. Maybe it grows on you if you play it for days and days and days. But even the tutorial was kind of just throwing info at you to do with that menu. And the game itself is actually really fun.
It's a super fun game. But the menu system is like the Dark Souls of menus.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on. A bit overwhelming. But the actual game itself, when you get out of the menus, is fun. It's colorful. It's bright. You can pretty much destroy anything you want with your little mining pick. So you can level a whole house from like the walls outside to stairs inside, just take out the fridge, collect all the materials, and then use that to build walls for your base, to protect your base from the oncoming zombie horde.
Yeah. It's very charming. It reminds me a bit of the Wildstar MMORPG artwork. Like, it's very bouncy animations in the way that you run and move, and there's a lot of weapons, and they're all kind of fun to try different things, and the traps are fun. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun, especially, like, it's a four-player sort of game that, you know, you do matches with four players, up to four. We had a lot of fun with just me and Callan. Lots of sort of opportunity for fun communication. There's bits where you're like, dude, back me up while I fix this door. These zombies just broke through the back of our house. We had a weak section in our, you know, like, oh, quick, build a staircase and block it off and let's climb to the top and sniper from everywhere. And I don't know, I imagine if you had 3 to 4 mates playing this, it would just be a ball. So if you guys have a chance to give it a go,
yeah,
you want to check it out and you have a bunch of friends, I really think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the game's in early access closed beta at the moment, but you can pay to get in. And it's going to release in full next year. It feels like actually quite a complete game already.
Yeah, in saying that, that's true.
But yeah, I do hope they get rid of some of the menu bloat that is in the game and just streamline things a bit.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah, I hope that's what they look at doing over the next sort of 6 months before ship. But yeah, it's good. If you get a chance, go check it out.
Yeah, nice. All right, so that brings us into our feature game for the episode.
Took you so long. Had to catch a train, love.
Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, developed by Naughty Dog, published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. I guess if you've played any of the Uncharted games, you kind of know what this is. It's an adventure game. It's kind of Tomb Raider-y, set pieces, good story, beautiful graphics. That's what it is. This one specifically is about Chloe and Nadine. Chloe we haven't seen since Uncharted 3, I believe. And Nadine was one of the antagonists in the last Uncharted 4 game, and so now it's them together. It's based in India, and that's basically the long and short of it.
Yeah, well, I've played a lot of Uncharted this year.
I think. So keep in mind that Callan's opinion might be a bit.
This year, I've played through Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, and Uncharted 4. And then I've gone on to this. So I've done a lot of Uncharted.
For 1 year, and, you know, we're just past halfway. That's a little bit of overkill. I think most people have done one every 2 years, and then yep, there was a huge break.
So for this review, I've got to turn off my Uncharted fatigued, because in all honesty, I felt a little fatigued by it.
Yeah, yep, yep. I can see that. I mean, they don't change the formula too much.
No.
They never really have.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, it's been probably about, I reckon, 6 weeks since I finished Uncharted 4.
Yep.
Nice. You forget how pretty the game is. Like, oh, wow, right. You boot up the game and just go, man, they've done some good job with the graphics in this. Like,
I feel like Naughty Dog are just showing off now. Like, it's just, it's so beautiful. Like, it's breathtakingly gorgeous. I'm just sitting there like,
yeah, ugh. Yeah. You know, like the amount of time that the game puts you on like little vistas and you get this beautiful, like, scenic overview of like the forest and an ancient temple or something. And you're just like, oh, man.
And guys, I'm trying to bloody review this thing. Don't put a photo mode in it.
That's all you did. You just kept messaging me going, oh, the photo mode. I mean, I just been for like 2 hours. And I'm like, dude, I did that bit in like 10 minutes. I'm still going through the game.
Yeah, I couldn't get out of like that first bit in India before you even, when it's all nighttime. Every time I turned a corner in a different alleyway, I'm like, well, that's gorgeous. Oh, well, there's a picture. Oh, look at that. And then you reach like the jungle area and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I can't even look any direction without seeing a masterpiece that I would print out and put over canvas and hang up.
Yeah. Like they do a good job of that sort of stuff. Like it looks absolutely gorgeous. But, you know, it's really built on everything from Uncharted 4. Like pretty much it's an Uncharted 4 expansion, but a standalone game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, they didn't make a new engine or anything. Not that they need to for like another 5 years.
Oh, no way. That engine easily holds up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, you're playing as like Chloe in this one, who, as you said before, you know, appeared in 3. So you're finding more about her backstory and sort of what motivates her and her and Nadine's growing relationship throughout the game, because they don't really know each other either. So they're trying to find out about each other too, as the player is. One thing I felt, though, at the start of the game, it felt like the banter between them was a little forced.
Yeah, I felt that too.
Like, the banter between Drake and Sully in, like, Uncharted 1 to 4 is just always, like, spot on. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
While the banter between the two girls felt a little forced at first, but as the game goes on, it actually starts to feel a bit more natural.
Yeah, I wonder if it's feeling more natural or if we're just growing to it, like, it grows on you kind of thing, or their personalities. I don't know, like... The two cultures seem to clash a bit weirdly as well, like the South African and Australian conversations. I don't know, something about the... I don't know if it sounded like... I wanted to hear more about the two, how the two cultures would sort of mesh together, but it sounded like when they had conversations, they understood each other so much that it seemed like two Americans with just different accents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is growing on me, and I am liking that chemistry. It's like they don't like each other. It is professional, but I mean, it is like your traditional buddy cop thing, but it's like they kind of were okay with each other from the get-go, even though there was this barrier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting sort of relationship which grows and changes throughout the game.
Yeah, and it's still kind of funny. Know,
sorry?
It's still kind of funny. Like, not Nathan Drake funny, but there's still some sort of one-liners in it. Interesting stuff, like when they do that, you know, that physics puzzle when you're finding one of the things and she's like, hooray for physics, you know, and it's kind of like noticing that, because I was like, oh, cool, something to do with a physics puzzle I really haven't seen a lot of. And she makes a comment, or when she talks about like, oh, yeah, I know Nathan Drake pretty well. Sam, not so much. He seemed to appear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I like those kind of little lines are pretty interesting.
Yeah. Look, it just feels so much like Uncharted, which is the obvious point of this game, is to still feel like Uncharted. Like in Uncharted 4, they've got a big open world vehicle area.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't really a fan of in 4. I don't know why. I just didn't.
For me, it was a highlight.
I just did not enjoy that part of the game. And then when I got to it in this similar thing, I was like, oh man, come on.
Even more of a highlight. I loved that part of the game.
Nah.
I was so excited by it.
See, for me, I think that's the low point of the game for me. Like, I've kind of enjoyed everything past that bit. Like, once I pass that bit, I'm like, oh, this is excellent, you know? But just that bit, it just, for me, it just dragged on. And I just didn't really enjoy it.
Well, having said that, though, it was kind of one of the first times where there's only like, you know, 3 or 4 short little things to do and then you can leave. So it doesn't really have to drag on. There's this huge optional sort of puzzle you can do if you want and collect all these different things and press these buttons and put them together and, you know, get something fun. But you really don't have to, you know, for people listening, I love that choice. It felt a bit Ubisoft, a bit Assassin's Creed-y, how you're just like looking at the map and checking things off, and it wasn't really hard to find anything. It's all just kind of there for you. So, like, I mean, imagine if you had to sort of find those and discover them yourself without having a map that showed you where everything was, you know, like that would have been hours for you. I'd probably love that, actually, but I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed finding it. I felt like the payoff was pretty cool. Kind of interesting. If you do everything on there. But yeah, I guess that's... It's so interesting how opinionated, like, fans of the game can be. Like, you and I are just, like, straight down the middle. Like, for you, it was a weakness. For me, it's, like, one of the highlights of the series was those two.
Yeah, well...
The one in Uncharted 4 and the one in this one.
Well, my favorite things in the Uncharted series pretty much have been their set pieces. Like, There was that amazing set piece in 4, just after the vehicle area.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Was that the motorbike chase?
Yeah, just the big chase scene in that, which was just absolutely epic. And
yeah, so they're so good at it.
You know, just having to do a big open world bit, it just feels like it takes away from that sort of intensity, sort of what the game is
about. It takes the control away from them a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's an excellent game. It's just that bit for me, I'm just not really getting, you know. And another new feature they put in was the lock picking. Again, I didn't think the game needed it.
Yeah, I think it's almost like they kind of forced themselves, like saying, like, okay, we have to add something different that's not in the other ones. And it's like, no, you really don't. Just make another great story.
Yeah.
Put some set pieces. Like, we know what to expect. We don't need that kind of new stuff, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to add something new, make it drastic. Make it like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn or Tomb Raider's sort of leveling up system. Or your quieter footsteps. Or, you know, that kind of... I don't know. That would probably completely ruin Uncharted. But, I mean, if you're going to add something, make it something worth adding that'll change things. Don't just put a little lockpick thing in just cause. And yeah, you're right. It's not very important.
Well, I know it sounds like I'm, like, ragging on the game, but it's an excellent game. But I'm just sort of, you know...
Yeah, yep.
Ah, like... No, I get it. I mean, like, it's a phenomenal-looking game. You know, it's got a great story. The sound, of course, is awesome. All the gun effects, all the sort of, you know, wildlife sounds.
It feels really good again, as always. Yeah. Super smooth.
The music is great. I have encountered a couple of bugs, though, actually, in this one.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Like, just, I've had to restart the game, like, once, like, at checkpoints, once or twice, just from things messing up. There was one.
Wow.
Just quickly, how I blew open a wall too early, and this is when I was collecting those little coins in that open world area.
Yeah.
And I hadn't killed all the enemies around. I saw the wall to blast, and I blasted it and ran into the room to grab the coin, and I couldn't pick it up. And I killed all the enemies, and I still couldn't pick up the coin. So I had to restart that bit, and then I killed all the enemies and walked back in there, and then I could pick up the coin.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And another bit... Nadine got sort of stuck outside the car. I'm driving along. She's sort of floating there. I don't know. It was a bit strange.
Oh, okay. Very Skyrim-y.
Yeah.
Don't expect that in this kind of polished game. I
haven't seen anything like that in the Uncharted games before.
Yeah. A bit weird.
But all that aside, like, it's a freaking excellent game at the same time. Like, it's a tight, you know, tight game. It moves very quick. Like, I mean, like, in terms of the story progression. Like, Uncharted 4... You know, the last one that came out was, you know, it was a massive game, and, you know, the story slowly built up, you know, built layers. This one is just like, let's go, bang, bang, bang.
Yep, you're straight in. All the drama's happening. What is it? One thing I did want to mention before we keep going is the, talking about mechanics added. I don't know if you were a fan, but one thing they did add that was new for me is that the map mechanic, and I am a huge fan of following maps. Like actual maps that you pull out instead of mini maps on the screen the whole time. You know, like, I really like that. Like, the map is empty, and as you go and discover things, she opens it up and adds things in it, and she crosses things off as you go, or like when she sees things. And I think it really adds to that immersion and feeling like an adventurer. Like, I don't know.
I was always a fan of Drake's. Logbook.
Journal.
And the other ones. I always loved it when you get to, especially in 4, when you had to flick back pages and work out things from the diagrams and stuff. I feel like that little sort of map that Chloe uses in the open world bit is sort of almost like a little continuation of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I wish there was more using her phone, you know?
Yeah.
Like in that way.
But so, I've got to say, she's got an amazing mobile phone. She can fall off cliffs. She can go through water. That phone is great.
Apple
and Samsung should find out what she's using and take that design, because, man, that phone goes through everything and just seems to work perfectly.
good. It takes great pictures, yeah, and doesn't even have a case.
It just whips it out. So that's, you know, it's been through everything, that phone.
I mean, so has the map, though, so that's some good paper.
Yeah. You know, she's got some. But, yeah, the map was cool. Yeah, I how they've done all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I was saying it earlier in a few podcasts ago that it was one of my favorite things about that Firewatch game as well, which was, like, a super simple game, but the map part was, like, one of the funnest little mechanics, and I've kind of started doing it, like, forcing myself to have a similar mechanic in the Assassin's Creed games, where I just turn off the mini-map, and if I want to know where I'm going, I just press pause and find it on the map and then try and locate it that way. Like, I kind of think it really adds to the adventure for me.
Yeah, that's how I play Zelda. I've turned off the mini-map since day dot on that, I think.
It just makes you look at the surroundings so much more instead of just, like, staring at the map and sort of following the line.
Yeah.
And, like, they're kind of, I don't know, there's little hints at things. Like, they keep saying, you know, when you see, like, this huge carving or this amazing door or a giant elephant statue, and there's little comments like Nadine will say, like, wow, imagine how long that would take to make, or imagine how many years they worked on that. Little comment, and it makes you actually go, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually amazing.
Going into the old temples, and I'm like, man, you know, if this stuff actually existed, like, how did, like, people make this stuff? Like, it's incredible.
Yeah. So all that aside and put together, what do you give this game, Callan?
Well, okay, even though it sounded like I knocked the game the whole podcast, it's still an excellent package. Like, it, you know, it's a great little subchapter in the Uncharted series. I hope they do more of these, exploring maybe other characters like Sully.
Yes.
You know, look, I'm going to give it a 9 because it's still a solid, beautiful-looking package of a game. Like, you know, it's got some things that I personally don't like, but in terms of, like, an overall experience, it's still, like, a 9 game. It's still, like, a fantastic game that anyone that's played through the Uncharted series should play.
Yeah, absolutely. It enriches the world.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, what he said. I give this a 9. 9 carriages for Uncharted: The Lost Legacy. I think it's brilliant. I mean, let's be honest. I give the photo mode a 10 on its own. I'd probably buy that as a mini game if it was one.
Would that be a perfect 10 for you then?
Just if it was just the photo mode. Maybe, yep. I uploaded a few more today. There'll be a few up there. One thing I forgot to mention, which I found out because of photo mode, just, you know, when she pulls out her map and just fills it in, then puts it back in her pocket, I paused it when the map was out and zoomed right into it, and it's the exact same map that you see when you press pause and look at the map, and it's, like, up to date with the details she's been filling in and stuff she's crossed out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just, like, little details like that. That's what they've done so well with, like, the Uncharted series, especially.
It was incredible. I thought, yeah, you don't even see the map. She has her back to you most of the time. And, like, sometimes she's tiny in this, like, huge landscape picture, you know. And I just paused it and went, I wonder what this map looks like. And the funny thing is it is literally just the same screen you see made smaller, because you can see the little red arrow cursor of where your character is as well. Yeah. That's not drawn in, like, the actual graphic is on there. I'm like, oh, I see what you guys did there.
Ah, well, but that takes it away from it a little.
Yeah, but so it is just a mini version. But I mean, she folds it up and stuff, which is really awesome. Like, I paused it when it was sort of half folded, and I could see the little crayon, and I'm like, oh, yep, she's crossed out that one, but not that one yet. I think it's just really clever.
Hmm.
But yeah, 9 out of 10 for me. That's our feature game this episode, guys. Let's move on.
Asav is getting a head start, and we need to hurry.
All right.
And that was our feature game. Yeah, a lot of fun. But that brings us to Backtrack.
What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Backtrack. This is our segment where we go see this week in the history of games and just pick something out of there and see what happened that was exciting. I found a fun one this week. August 25th. So today, slap bang today, in 1997, GoldenEye 007 is released for the Nintendo 64 in North America. Damn.
Well, I don't know many people that have not played this game.
Yeah, and not loved it.
And not loved it. Absolutely. Like, it, you know, for me, this is like teenage multiplayer, on the couch with friends.
Couch co-op at its best. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't say it's co-op because you're all trying to kill each other.
Well, yes, sorry. Couch multiplayer.
Multiplayer, yes. Man, I didn't own a Nintendo 64, but I know someone that did, and I was around there most weekends playing this game. He was very good because he practiced a lot, so he'd school us a lot at it. But man,
of course.
But man, it was fun. It was so much fun. Like, you know, just putting the game on one-hit kills, running around, putting proximity bombs in awkward places.
And yeah, pistols or slaps only and that stuff.
Yep. Or headshots only. Like, it... it was just so much fun.
Testament to the design. Like, that's not even with, like, leveling up your guys or... You're who you are. You jump in. You kill each other. The end.
Yep.
Which is so cool because you could go to other people's houses and play their console. You know, you don't have to... I mean, I guess there wasn't any internet gameplay then, so you couldn't really bring your own leveled up person, but I love that there's this even playing field. You just jump in, there's no special stuff. Like, it was so fun. That game was just so brilliant. There was a time back then where if you had a Nintendo 64, you had Mario 64, GoldenEye 007, and Mario Kart. Like, everyone had those three games.
Yes,
I feel like just everyone.
And Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Also, let's not forget, this is a licensed game.
Yeah.
And those were just awful.
Yeah.
But awful till recently.
They just hit the nail on the head of perfect formula at the perfect time.
And a first-person shooter on the console that kind of no one thought would work.
Yep. But it did, just 100%. Like, I don't think I've ever met someone that didn't like the game that played it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's saying a lot, because generally you find someone, oh, I didn't really like this, or but now everyone's like, oh, GoldenEye, that was it. You know, that was the bomb. Yeah. That was, yeah.
And in saying all this, like, not just the multiplayer, but the one-player game itself was so fun. Like, all the secrets afterwards in the Aztec temple and stuff, and the way that you could sort of, you know, do different missions within the same level. And I love how changing the difficulty, you know, from secret agent to super agent or whatever they called it, instead of just making bad guys harder or shoot you better, like, it changed the objectives and you had to do more things, or you had to do them in a trickier way or not be seen. Like, I love that. It's more like the Master Quest style, you know, like in Zelda, where, like, I don't know, the hard mode is just, there's more to it than just tougher dudes. But, yeah, that's GoldenEye 007, 1997.
Fantastic game.
That brings us into our passenger questions. And this week, our good friend Reef Etkin is back.
Again.
Hello, Reef. Thank you. Anyone else, if you guys want to ask any questions, you got any queries about myself or Callan, and, you know, want to know something about us or our opinions on games and ideas or whatever, just... you know, write in and send us a question. Just jump onto www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast and send us a message, ask us a question. Yeah, we'll answer it on the next episode. So this time, Reef says, yo, what's happening, lads? Got a question. What game would you love to see a remake of?
Oh, that's easy. Final Fantasy VI.
Nice. Yep, and I said San Andreas GTA 5 engine. That's pretty much it for me.
Easy, yep. And I'd like to see a remaster of Skate or GTA San Andreas, but you pretty much nailed it with the remake. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yep. I'd like to see a Skate remaster. It doesn't have to be a remake or anything like that, just a remaster. Allow me to play that on PS4, please.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, and stop neglecting Frostbite in the Atari 2600 collections. That'd be nice too. Just let me play it again, guys. Why is there 100 games?
Frostbite and it's in not the one of them? GTA 5 engine.
I don't know that overkill? Would work, oh, I mean, I'd try it. I just want regular old Frostbite. Come on, guys.
No, we want Frostbite in the GTA games? 5 engine.
Okay. Yep, I'll take it.
Make it happen.
I'll take it. All right, we're going to move right along.
So, Games of Gold Plus, we have Forza Motorsport 5 Racing Game of the Year Edition coming September 1st.
Excellent.
For Xbox One. Oxen Free coming
brilliant
September 16 to October 15 on Xbox One.
Oh, so excited. I've wanted to play that game.
Hydro Thunder Hurricane coming September 1st to September 15 on the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. And nice. Battlefield 3 is coming September 16 to September 30 on Xbox One and Xbox 360.
Awesome. Nothing on PlayStation Plus just yet.
No.
But unfortunately, we've just missed the window for that. So yeah, we'll let you know about the PlayStation Plus games when we know. But yeah, that's Games with Gold Plus. Nice, quick, simple section this time.
Yes.
And that brings us to the end of this episode and to our Hype Train and Lame Train sections.
Oh, yeah.
To take us out there, let's go. Callan, what is your Lame Train?
Okay, mine was that there was no World of Warcraft expansion announcement at Gamescom. I really thought this was going to happen, and so did a lot of the internet too that follow World of Warcraft. 2 years ago, Blizzard announced an expansion at Gamescom, and they weren't at Gamescom last year, so they went back there again this year. Everyone assumed it didn't happen. It's around the time when they will be starting to announce it, because Legion is starting to come to its end, but all they spoke about was, in terms of World of Warcraft, was Legion's next patch. So I'm expecting an announcement at BlizzCon in a couple of months' time, but pretty disappointed that it didn't happen at Gamescom. So I'd say it's more of a disappointment train than a lame train.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is still kind of lame.
Yeah.
Well, mine was, I mean, it was just bugging me last week when we were trying to play Fortnite, but is the fact that you can't pause a game on an online game during the tutorial when you're playing by yourself. No other players. I won't get into it too much because it got me quite riled up. But basically, the tutorial was a lot of fun and I'd learned how to do the mining thing and I spent just nearly an hour, maybe more. This tutorial was only meant to go for 15, 20 minutes, but as soon as I figured out how to mine, I leveled that playing field and just got everything. I just smashed down the whole world and collected so much wood and bricks and metal and I was so excited. And then I had to pause it for a minute to run out and go do some stuff. And I came back in. I was like, all right, let's continue. And they're like, sorry, we kicked you out because you were AFK for a while. I'm like, what? Why? Who was I affecting? There was no one in the game with me. Let me pause it during this tutorial section. I don't know. I was pretty annoyed. That's my lame train in a nutshell. Hype train. Let's do it. Hype train. Callan, what's your hype train this episode?
Announcement at Gamescom was we're getting a new Jurassic Park / World game, whatever you call it these days. Let's call it the Jurassic franchise. There is a Jurassic, it's called Jurassic World Evolution. It is Jurassic Park or World, but crossed with theme park, so you're making your own Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Perfect.
Yes. Comes out next year. I'm so excited. It's Jurassic Park, theme park style. Top down, you make your own theme park, make dinosaur pens, visitor centers. It looks like the dinosaurs can break out. Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some issues there. I like fun issues to deal with.
Yes.
Nice one. My hype train is also a Gamescom announcement. The new Biomutant game, which just looks unreal. It came out of nowhere. THQ Nordic revealed it as an open world post-apocalyptic kung fu fable. That's a tongue twister. It's kind of fun. It's going to be PlayStation 4, PC, Xbox and all that, but it's in development by a studio, a Sweden-based studio called Experiment 101, which is founded by former Avalanche Studio guys, and those are the guys that made the Just Cause games. So already you know it's going to be fun and insane, but like you play as this little furry creature. I don't know, he kind of looks like Rocket Raccoon. He's got guns and all that, but he looks like he's kind of half bionic. He's got some sort of robotic laser eye or something. I think you can upgrade him in different ways. He can carry really heavy weapons. You can, it looks like in the gameplay trailers that you could customize his fur and make him look all however you want him to. It looks really cool. The animation's smooth. The gameplay is super interesting looking. I'm very excited for it. I didn't see this coming at all.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, and both that game and Jurassic World Evolution are set to be launching next year. So next year's game bumper just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Oh man, it's like the years are just trying to outdo each other.
Like we thought 2017 was big. Wait until next year. Oh man.
Yeah. Bam. All right. Well, that's it for us this time. Next week we've got some big news actually, which we forgot to mention. From now on, we're going to be going weekly. We've been doing this fortnightly for the last 13 episodes. But there's just too many amazing games to just sort of skip them and only do, you know, one feature here and there. So, yeah, we're going to be doing shorter, quicker, weekly episodes.
So, yeah, get excited about that, people. And please give us reviews on iTunes and Podbean, etc. It all helps like boost our online footprint through the game train.
Yeah, and makes us a bit more discoverable and easier to find and easier to share. So
if you hate something, write it on there. If you love something, write it on there. We don't mind awesome. Either way.
As if you hate something, never talk to me again and go away. but yeah, so next week, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle will be our feature game, so that's going to be exciting.
Oh yes, I've been waiting for this one for a while.
Yes, keen as.
Yep.
But until then, guys, thank you so much. This has been Game Train, and we'll see you at the next stop.
Bye.